You are listening to the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center's Pastors Scott and Tina Witwam.
A ministry of reconciliation. And so we should never take any day in our life as a believer. We should never take any day in our life for granted, because we have a mission in life. We have an appointment in life. And because of our appointment or our destiny in life, the world is benefited by it. They don't often seem real excited about the benefits they receive from the church. But I tell you what, when they meet Jesus as Savior, you remember that? I mean, many of us here probably didn't have much time for the church either, much time for the things of God before you got saved. You thought, well, why are they spending all the time doing that? Why are they wasting all the money doing that? Why are they doing all those things? Because they never had an encounter with God. But because of your appointment, change the life of somebody else. And that's why it's so important to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that this day that God has made for us, we can change other people's lives for the better. Amen? I mean, really, that's what, as the body of Christ, that's what we should be doing. We should be taking this good news, this gospel, and improving the lives of the people that are in the world. I am so grateful that somebody took the time to improve my life, to share the gospel of Christ with me, to give me the ability to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to not have to live on my own, but to be able to walk each day with God. Amen? Amen. In Romans 8:14, this is a base scripture that we've been using. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God." Father, I desire, and I pray, Father, that it's the desire of every believer to be led by you, to be led by your Holy Spirit. That not only would the Holy Spirit dwell with us and in us, but that he would also be our advocate, that he would be our comfort, that he would be our a guide in life, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to lead us and guide us into the plan that you have for each one of us, that we could fulfill our God-given destinies in life. And today, Lord, as we open your word and we talk about your word today, I ask that you bring revelation knowledge to each one of us, that we can understand better and really be more energized, more compelled for the gospel, to take this word, to take this good news into the highways, into the byways, and all around this world. That there would be no one who hasn't been exposed to the good news of Jesus Christ and the plan that you have for each and every one of us related to the kingdom of God. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, honor, and glory today in everything we do. Amen. Amen. Well, I've started off the last few weeks as we've been doing this series asking you a question. And so I want to ask you a question again today. Really, it's the type of question we should be asking ourselves every day. And that's, what were we able to do this last week to allow God to empower? What were you able to do last week in order to allow God to empower you and to use you for the benefit of the kingdom? See, sometimes if we start asking ourselves God questions, we'll be less self-focused and more God-focused, and realize that our lives have greater meaning than the trivialities that sometimes we set our lives up for. You know, you weren't destined to be able to stay home all day and watch soap operas. That was not your destiny in life. But do you know there's people that do that? See, you were something greater. I mean, God didn't call you to be a king and a priest for you to not be available to the world, to the people. You've got something the world needs. And in the scripture it says that you don't take and light a candle and put a bushel or a basket over the top of it. No, you put it on a lampstand that it gives light to the whole house. And you are now of the Lord, head of the world. We talked about the 5 points of empowerment. And these are kind of key. We talked about the fact that there must be, to be empowered, there must be power. See, whatever it is that you're going to walk in must be available. And if we're going to be empowered, there has to be power. You also must be able to receive that power. There must be a way to have it imparted, or there must be a way for an impartation to take place. We must fully believe. We must be fully persuaded. See, you can't be halfway persuaded. James says that that's double-mindedness. And he says, don't let the double-minded man, the one who's in today and believes today, but tomorrow he just doesn't know if it's so. James says, they're a double-minded person, and don't let them think they'll receive anything from God. Jesus said, be either hot or cold. So we need to be fully persuaded. We also need to be willing. We need to be able to do. We've got to be willing to put our hand to something. You know, the gospel is not a spectator sport. Jesus said, go. He didn't say stay. He said, go into all the world. He said, well, that's for the evangelist. That's for the pastor. That's for the apostle, the prophet, or the teacher. They can go. And I'll just make sure that my pew is kept clean and do what I need to do in my own little area. But this is not a spectator sport. This is a combat sport. That's why Paul referred to it as spiritual warfare. We're in spiritual combat. And we need to be mature. We need to gain knowledge so we understand the life that we're in. Because even though your company may have told you can't witness for Christ at work, you can't bring your Bible in, you can't do these things. I was in one of the most hostile states there is in this country, in one of the hardest places to share Christ, and working inside state government, and yet I was able to share Christ. I was able to counsel people. I was able to be a witness. Because I didn't walk in with my 1600 King James, you know, looking to beat people over the head with it. I just lived my life as a godly man, somebody who really was concerned about the betterment of others. And you know what's interesting? It drew people to me. I didn't have to go find them. It drew people to me. You know, Jesus didn't go out setting up big crusades. He always tried to stay quiet. Don't go tell anybody. You know, but everybody did. They blabbed it like crazy. He'd go to pray, and what happened? People would find out where he's at, and they would flock to him. And that's what our lives need to be. We need to be mature, knowledgeable, and understand the Word so that we can be empowered, so that even in the darkest places, your light will shine. Amen? And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I love the second verse in here, because you really can paraphrase it, right? You know that you were lost, you were a sinner, and you were going to hell. That's what it means. I'm a Gentile. You were without God. And you just worshiped everything but God. You did stupid things. I mean, you could put my name right behind that before I met God. You did stupid things, right? However you were led or however you were taught. I just mirrored my parents. They did stupid things, and so what did I do? I did stupid things. Anybody else fall into that? Yeah. But that's not the way the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now concerning the spiritual, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. Because you did all them stupid things before. Now it's time to have knowledge, understanding about how the kingdom of God operates, the spiritual environment. And we went on to talk about how to empower the body of Christ, God gave the church 9 endowments, the gifts, the ministries, and the activities. Now, because of the way the King James has interpreted verse 12:1, we've just always called them gifts, but we've seen that there's a difference between the gifts, ministries, and activities. In fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, and let's just read it together again this morning. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. See, the Holy Spirit classified these endowments into 3 different groups. And because he did it, it must be important to us. And because Paul said, don't be stupid about these things, don't be ignorant about these things, we probably ought to get some information about it so we can understand how these endowments work. Because these endowments are intended to empower the body of Christ. These gifts, ministries, and activities. And within these three groupings, there are a total of 9 endowments that can be categorized. Anybody like in school when they broke things down? I don't know about you, story problems. Is anybody here that really liked story problems? They made no sense to me. I'm like, just give me some numbers and I can figure this out. But they do these story problems. John and Martha got married on June 2nd and bought a house. Well, who cares? What do they want to do? That's what I want to know. And then they'd go on to say, and they bought 3 dozen eggs, sold half the eggs to the neighbor, and they'd go on with these story problems. And half the story made no sense to me. It didn't. It was just like, so I didn't like story problems. Just lay it out for me. Make it nice and easy. So the Holy Spirit here did me a real big favor. He just broke it into 3 groups. Made it real easy for me. He said, look, these endowments can be broken into 3 groups. And inside these 3 groups, each of them have 3 different endowments. There are 3 that say something. Prophecy, tongues and interpretation, and the interpretation of tongues. We call these the gift of utterance. The word here, gifts, is that word charisma. That we always say when somebody is very gifted at speaking that they've got charisma. But it literally means gifts. But there are 3 of them that we've been endowed with. But there are also 3 endowments that reveal something. These are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. These are the ministries of revelation. Diakoneia is the word that is used. Diakoneia. It's where we get the word deacon. These ministries. And the word deacon could be used for a sentry, an usher. It's a ministry. It's what they were doing. So when you would come into the temple and they would have the temple guards, those were actually diakoneia. Those were ministries, the deacon ministry. But somehow some denominations have messed it up, put them on boards and told them it was their job to control the church, control the body, the congregation, and particularly the pastor. I won't get onto a soapbox because I really easily could there. There are also 3 of these endowments that do something. These are the activities: faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. These are activities of power, energema, and we talked about the energy and the power last week. These manifestations or endowments of the Spirit are given for the prophet. And that's in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. The reason why God has endowed the church with these gifts, ministries, and activities is for the profit of all. What does that mean? Profit. It means to increase. See, when we are walking and operating in these endowments, it should be touching the world. And we've talked about the fact these endowments were not just designed for operation in crusades or in Sunday morning services. These endowments are intended to operate in our everyday life as the Holy Spirit wills. The gifts of healings, which we've been talking about, activities, and the working of miracles. And faith. God energizes you with faith to stand, believe, and do something that you otherwise would not, in your own ability, be able to do. So these are designed for the prophet. These should be what the world looks on and says, hey, that group of people, those Christians, they're different. They're raising the dead, they're healing the sick, they're people are driving or riding in on new donkeys, never ridden before, right? Like Jesus did. Right? Those can be new, whatever kind of donkeys. I don't care whether they're Chevys or Mitsubishis or Cadillacs or Mercedes. I don't care what kind of new donkey you ride in on, but they should be looking at the church and saying that there's something different about them, and I want what they've got. But see, the church has been so washed down by the world that these endowments, these empowerments of the Holy Spirit are minimized in the body of Christ. And it shouldn't be that way. And that's why we need to understand them, because we all, you, me, those who are watching, we should be operating and walking in this empowered state of being. Because you received power when the Holy Ghost came upon you. Amen? Amen. So we should be something different. Now, we've been focused on these endowments of activities, this power of the Holy Spirit. But today is a great opportunity to discuss a foundational layer related to the spiritual. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 from the Amplified, I want to read this again. It says, "Now about the spiritual gifts, these special endowments and supernatural energy, brethren, I don't want you to be misinformed." So there's something, though, that is foundational to the operation of this empowerment in our life. And is there anybody here that knows what tomorrow is? Anybody know what tomorrow is? No, it's the first day of the work week. It's Monday. Yes, it's Valentine's Day. But I guess the reason I bring that up is because what does St. Valentine's and this day have to do with spiritual empowerment? Because, see, Valentine's Day is named after somebody. There's a reason why we have this celebration. Now, like anything else, you know, Hallmark got involved, and it became the greeting card holiday. And then Whitman's chocolate got involved, and it became the chocolate heart holiday. You know, and so, you know, I like commercialism, but I can tell you what, sometimes they take things right off the rails. Amen? And so I would imagine that if you went and interviewed high school students and asked them what Valentine's is all about, they would probably say candies or love, or, you know, they don't have any idea, because that's what you see on television. You ask, well, my wife's not here, but I mean, you ask my wife and she may say, well, it's about diamonds, you know, right? That's when, who is the Jareds, you know, Jareds and all those, they got involved in Shane Company, you know, and now Valentine's is all about diamonds and rubies, but it doesn't have anything to do with it. In fact, is what underlines Valentine's Day is the same thing that underlines the empowerments of the Holy Spirit. So let's just follow this trail with me this morning, and let me ask you, how is it that you were saved? I mean, don't answer it, because you'll get the question right and wrong at the same time, right? But how are you saved? You were saved by grace, right? I knew somebody was going to say, well, brother so-and-so told me if I didn't get saved, I don't want that answer. But you were saved by grace. That's what the Bible says, right? Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Let's read it. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin or trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Okay, so we were saved by grace. That brought us into the kingdom of God. That brought us into relationship with God. Grace. And, you know, not too long ago we talked about grace, the favor of God, because grace is literally translated the unmerited favor of God. God favored me and allowed me to come into his kingdom, right? In Galatians 4, it says that if you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heir according to the promise. See, he allowed me to come in. He allowed me to be grafted in to his family. It was by grace. He favored me. He favored you. Now, grace doesn't work by itself, because it was God's grace working through faith. See, God's grace was there, but until I believed it, until the faith, the measure of faith that he had given me connected with it, and I could believe it, I could extend my faith, I couldn't receive his grace. I mean, I just considered myself a child of God, because I was Catholic, and they just told me everybody's a child of God. Everybody's a child of God. You know, if you get out of line, God will whack you in the head, but if you do good, you're a child of God. And then when you go see St. Peter, you know, you'll have some grace in St. Peter's eyes. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says I need grace in St. Peter's eyes. It says I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I need grace in his eyes. And when I got saved, it opened that up to me, but it was because of my faith. I was saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It was the gift of God. It was God's impartation to me. And when I believed it, when my faith met grace, I could be saved. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means without faith, it's impossible to connect with God's grace. It requires more than just God's grace. It required my faith, because without it, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. See, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, that his grace was there to reward me. What did it do? How did it reward me? It made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It established me in a place I couldn't have gotten to on my own. My righteousness was like filthy rags, and yet he put and clothed me with clothes of righteousness. So all I need is faith, and then I can connect with God's grace. But faith is powerless without what? Without love. So it required faith working through love in order to obtain grace. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything. That means it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're not a Jew. It doesn't matter whether they consider you to be a Gentile, godless, a pagan, or whatever. He says it doesn't matter. It doesn't avail anything. But what does matter is faith working through love. Why is it that love empowers faith? How come faith can't be empowered by itself, by just my will? Because God approaches things differently than you and I would, right? And we, as we approach Valentine's Day, and we look at these foundations, we have to understand what underlies it all. And that is love, for God is love. See, love is not God. That happened in the 60s, remember? For those of you old enough. But the 60s was the era of free love. You know, love was everything. Love was God. Love was... No, but God is love, but love is not God. See, God is. He doesn't have. He is. See, if he had it, it means he would have had to acquired it someplace. See, I have it because I acquired it somewhere. I'm not love. You know, it's not Scott is. No, I'm not. I acquired it. So Scott has it, but God is it. He's the source of it. That's where I acquired it. And because of God's great love, even when I was dead in sin, I was able to activate my faith because of his love, and I was able to get hold of his grace because of my faith. But underlying it all was his love. Why? Because God is love. In 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, it's this love that underlies everything: creation, redemption. There is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life. See, that's where Jesus came from. He came from God's love. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he took on flesh. See, in the beginning was Jesus. He was the Word, and he had taken on flesh. He was dwelling with God in the beginning, and yet God's love sent him. And no greater love is there than this, than that Jesus would voluntarily come, take on flesh, live his life sinless, and then give it up. He said, nobody's taken my life from me. I freely give it. For this purpose, I have come. No greater love exists than this. And this is what underlies our spiritual empowerment. Is the love of God that has been shed now abroadly in our hearts. This love compelled a priest named Valentine to defy political powers. You know, we always just think, oh, this guy just came up with this really great idea to have this nice day with chocolates and greeting cards and you know, and those kind of things. He must have been just, he was just a love man and just created this thing. He was a minister. He was a priest of God. I think in the, like 300 AD, around the 3rd century, 2nd, 3rd century time period. I don't remember for sure, but somebody here, maybe a historian, remember. And then he opposed authority. Why? Because they were saying nobody could be married without consent of the king. Without the emperor's consent, nobody could be married. And if anybody performed marriages, they would be in defiance of the order. And Valentine would not stop performing his biblical, God-given duty to bring men and women together in holy matrimony. And for that reason, he paid the ultimate price. And it was said that he did it for love's sake. Well, he did. He did it for the God of love. It's what he was called to do. And he refused to back down to political powers. You know, there's many people that they've tried to shame here recently because they refused to back down to political powers. They try to shame you. Don't you care about other people? Yeah, it's the reason why I refuse to bow my knee is because I care about other people. I refuse to allow our great country to be run by tyrants because I love people. The founding fathers of this nation paid the ultimate price, pledged life and liberty. They pledged everything they had, their sacred honor, their fortunes, so that we would have this freedom of assembly, this freedom of worship. And for us just to say, well, it's in the betterment of the government or society, so let's just give our freedom away. Valentine refused. And because of that, here we are some 1,800 years later talking about him. He has a day on our calendar, a day when if we think about it, this should be a day of celebrating biblical conviction and right action. But for those of you who chose to have tomorrow be even more special by not only being Valentine's Day, but being anniversaries, congratulations. 49 and 46, right? 46 and 49 years. What an awesome time to celebrate. You might as well celebrate love. Praise the Lord. Because it's what underlines our empowerment as believers, our spiritual empowerment. Because now, these spiritual gifts, these special endowments, this supernatural energy, brethren, I don't want you to be misinformed. See, love, it not only empowers us as believers, but it empowers the future. Valentine's love, his love for God, his love for the Bible, and his love to bring people together in holy matrimony, still is now a testimony of what love can do. And because of what we've just kind of gone over, this trail that we've gone on, we can literally conclude that the spiritual or the kingdom of God works by love. I mean, it's easy for us to conclude that. These endowments work by love, and this love, this agape, this is selfless God kind of love. This is the kind of love that does things not expecting anything in return. I mean, God sent Jesus into the world and gave us the choice to make. Do we receive him? Do we not? Right? It didn't expect anything in return. God said, I'm giving my son in order to restore a covenant. And because I made these human beings free will creatures in the beginning, they're going to remain free will and have every right to receive my son, to come in back into relationship with us. In James 2:14, oh, just before that. So let me connect this again. So we're saved by grace through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then faith works by love, and God is love. So see the connection. We've got the foundation laid. In James 2:14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says that they have faith, but they don't have works? You say, well, what does that mean? What does faith profit you if you don't have love? See, love always speaks. Love always does. Love is action. How can I say that? Because God is action. Read the very first verse of your Bible. In the beginning, God created. See? In the beginning, God loved. And therefore, he created. For even as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without love is also dead. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. See, love underlies our empowerment. And so this week, we have a great opportunity. How are we going to share the love of God with somebody? How are we going to do something? Or what are we going to do for somebody that is unexpected, that is uncalled for, just because we love God? And let me close with the scripture. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should never perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. See, God is love, and he loves each and every one of us. He wants so much more, and because of his love, now we have a foundation to be empowered believers. Not just somebody who thinks about something or acknowledges somebody, but somebody who is empowered to do something with that love. And God loves each and every one of us. If you're watching by live stream, God loves you. And because Jesus came to restore our lives, he came to restore our relationship, he came to restore that intersection between humanity, mankind, and God, we have the right to be called children of God. He says it's very easy. This is what always God says. It's so very easy. He says, believe on me, Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, and then confession is made unto salvation. So if we confess with our mouth and then believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And if you're watching today and have never received Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're here today and you've never made that commitment, I want to pray with you to receive the Lord as your Savior. So if you guys would all pray with me, say, Father, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I ask him to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and make me a new creation. And I receive the covenant, the relationship with my Heavenly Father today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you're here, Eugene and Deb will hang out here for a few minutes after service. They've got some materials they'd like to put in your hand. If you're watching by live stream, go out to valorcc.com. Just drop us a note through the prayer page. We want to be able to continue to pray for you. God loves you, and he wants the best for you in life. Amen.
You have been listening to a recording from the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center with senior pastors Scott and Tina Witwam. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this simple prayer with me now. Jesus, according to Romans 10:9, your word says, if I confess you as Lord and Savior and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that you would come into my heart and I would be saved. I now confess and believe that you are my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, please contact our office so that we may rejoice together with you. Call Valor Christian Center at 480-545-4321. That's 480-545-4321. Or by email at info@valorcc.com. That's info@valorcc.com. Or by mail to the church address at 3015 East Warner Road, Gilbert, Arizona, 85296.